The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, but because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you now is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. In the last few weeks, I have rediscovered the CDs in the back of the church. To tell you the truth, I'm almost never in my car for long rides, and normally I'm trying to get my rosary fit in during the day, so I'm praying the rosary. But recently, since it's Lent, you know, I'm putting quality time in to get my rosary said before the Blessed Sacrament, trying to. And so having more time to listen to these CDs, and I came upon one of them. It's called From Gangster to the Promised Land. If you have not listened to it, I most highly recommend it. This man who lived in England, who was a member of the gangsters there, something similar to being part of an Italian mafia. If you can imagine it, he probably did it, and probably did worse than you can imagine. Well, this man who's had a major conversion himself, he tells the story of two of his close friends, also gangsters. One Sunday morning, they're walking down the street after a long night out on the town, and they're passing a Catholic church. And both of them had grown up Catholic and had fallen away. And so one of them says to the other, "Hey, let's go in there and have a good time." So they enter into the church, and the priest is in the middle of his homily. And they stand in the very back of the church, and they begin to heckle the priest as he preaches. And they begin to use profanity. And so the priest stops right in the middle of his homily, and he exits the sanctuary, and he walks right to the back of the church to these men. And he raises his hand over them and he says, "Jesus!" And they fall on the ground. Something similar to when the soldiers went to take our Lord captive in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says to them, "Who do you seek?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And our Lord says, "Yahweh." And they fall on the ground because of the power of the holy name. And these two gangsters, they stand back up. And, I mean, these are tough guys. And they're dismayed. And, "Oh, gosh, without strength." The priest raises his hand again. And he says, "Jesus." And they fall on the ground. And they are instantly converted. And they know the fullness of the faith. And these men now go around the world preaching the gospel. For Christmas this year, someone gave me a book called The Price to Pay. And it is written by a former Muslim who converted to Catholicism. And he tells the story. He lived in Iraq. And as an Iraqi citizen, when you're a man and you come of age, you must enter the military and do your duty to your nation. So he enters the military in his late teens, maybe early 20s. And he is assigned a room with a Christian, a Catholic Christian, which to him is despicable. He doesn't want to talk to the guy, doesn't want to share anything with him. So he asks if he can be moved to another room. And he's surprised because there are so few Christians in Iraq, and he gets placed with one. And he doesn't get permission to have another room. So he thinks, "Okay, Allah, this must be because you want me to convert this man." So for 5 months, he begins to preach the Muslim faith to him. The months go by, and as they live together, a relationship begins to unfold. So 5 months go by, and this Muslim man one night in his sleep, he has a dream. And growing up, it bothered him that he could never remember his dreams. His siblings, his friends say, "Oh my gosh, I had this dream, and this is what happened, and it's a sign to me." He could never remember any dream. He has this dream that is so vivid. There is a stream before him. Not a very large one, maybe 3 feet wide. And on the other side of this stream is a man dressed in Middle Eastern garb, but an ancient garment, with middle-length hair, blue-gray eyes, and a thin beard. And he says the man is so strikingly handsome. and there's some draw to him that he wants to be with him, and so he attempts to jump over the stream. And as he jumps, he's suspended in mid-air, and he realizes that he cannot be with this man. Until the man reaches out and pulls his hand, and he stands beside him. And the man says one line to him. He says this: "To cross the stream, you must eat the bread of life." And the dream ends. He goes to work the next day, so does his roommate. That evening they both come back, and his roommate takes a huge risk. He says, "I know that it is illegal to do this because it can be seen as proselytizing. No Christian can try to convert a Muslim, or you suffer grievously for it." He says, "I brought you a book of the Gospels. You've been telling me about your faith for months. You can read it if you want. I just want to put it in your hands." The man flips it open to the Gospel of John. And his roommate says, "You know what? I would start with Matthew. John's a little bit high in philosophy, theology." He doesn't listen to his roommate. He looks where he's open. It's John chapter 6. And he reads this line on our Lord's mouth: "I am the bread of life. Unless you eat this bread, you have no life in you." And he knows that he dreamt about Jesus Christ. And he knows that Jesus is real. And the rest of the story, he tells how it took him 10 years to escape from Iraq. But first, he was in prison for 18 months, beaten severely every single day to renounce Christianity. When he's let out of prison, the men in his family take him out into a field to kill him for his Christian faith, his newfound Christian faith. They shoot him and leave him to die. Eventually, he escapes and he's able to write this book and tell the story. Both of those individuals, all three of those individuals, if they were standing here before you today, they would say what we heard the man in the gospel say: "I was blind, but now I see." But my brothers and sisters, the reality is every single one of us was born blind. We were born spiritually blind. And until we have an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ, after which we could say, "I was blind, but now I see," we have to wonder, have we ever really encountered Him? As lifelong Catholics, there can be the tendency to be like the scribes and the Pharisees and think we've got it. And the people who are the most blind are the people who do not think that they are blind at all. You know who's doing the major work in the United States, actually all throughout the world, to bring people to Catholicism? It's converts! Right? Like every CD in the back of the church is by someone who was not Catholic, who became Catholic, and they say, "I was blind, but now I see." And so they want to tell the world. And we have all of us, and I'm as guilty as the next, right, sitting in the pews every weekend. Are we out converting people? Are we bringing them to Jesus Christ? You know, it's so easy to just kind of go by. We just go through the motion. We go to Mass on Sunday, you know, we fulfill our duty. And blindness, it is something that is gradually taken away. When this man is healed, first he says, he calls Jesus the man. Then he calls him the prophet. Then he says he's from God. Finally, "I am his disciple." And at the very end, he falls on the ground and worships him. His blindness wasn't taken away at once. My brothers and sisters, a question. So you wouldn't be here at Sunday Mass unless you considered yourself a faithful Catholic. Would you say of yourself, "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ"? I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we are we sharing that truth with the world? I close with this. There's a priest in the 1980s who lived in Nicaragua, and he was a communist. that he preached liberation theology, that a priest friend of his invited him to go to Rome. And he said, Rome? With all that papist nonsense, right? I want nothing to do with that pope. And his friend said, the trip is free, right? You don't have to participate in anything. You just come and have a good time. And he says, well, what's the point in going to Rome? He said, there's a conference being given by Mother Teresa of Calcutta on the priesthood. He says, I'll go for the free trip. He gets to Rome. The talk by Mother Teresa arrives. And he has this sense, you know, I should at least go find out here what's going on. He goes into this large auditorium. And before the conference begins, Mother Teresa asks that a statue of our Blessed Mother Mary process through the audience of priests. And as this statue of Our Lady of Fatima is going by this priest, all of a sudden he is filled with this incredible light. And he comes to know that his thinking has been wrong. Mother Teresa comes out and she talks about Jesus' love for the priesthood. And in her talk, he has a radical conversion. Now, this is a Catholic priest. And he goes home to his congregation that Sunday, and he says this verbatim. He says, my parishioners, I just want to tell you that everything that I have said to you up to now is utter nonsense. We must start again. And we must begin with adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And we will consecrate this parish to the Mother of God and leave it in her hands. My brothers and sisters, that we might not be blind, if you do not currently spend time before the Most Blessed Sacrament in adoration, that is where we are filled with the light of the world. There's no greater thing than to receive Holy Communion. And if you have never consecrated yourself to the Mother of God, that's where Jesus began. May we imitate him.